Father in heaven, we thank you again for the song service this morning to lift our hearts up in a dull world, dear Father, that looks at a good time as making a body almost dead by everything they put into it. And we know, Lord, the best thing to have the spirit weaken and in turn think about heaven while we're here. And we don't have to get up with a headache. We don't have to get up with a hangover. But we get up with joy in our heart. And we come to the house of God, even on Sunday morning after our Saturday night, and enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now help us today with this message as we do our best to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor our Father, and yield to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible. And first of all, if you will, turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as we look into the scriptures for just a few moments, I want to read a couple of verses from here, and then I want to go to Philippians chapter 2. And it simply says this. Now, as I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is about 59 A.D. when Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. And here's what he said, and then you'll see my subject in a minute. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now he goes back, if you look in verse 14, he said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now he says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Then watch verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Would you say that last phrase with me? But we have the mind of Christ. Now notice, the we here is not talking about the world. The world has not the mind of Christ. It is those who have been born into the family of God. It's obvious we must understand who this is. We have the mind of Christ. That is, we have the potential mind of Christ. Now, the known fact is this. You don't have it without this book. You have potential to have it. Because nowhere that God comes and reveals his mind to us just arbitrarily somewhere or another. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And it's this book. We find the mind of Christ in this book, which gives us also to understand a little bit about the mind of God. Now, if you move over to the church at Philippi, turn there if you will, please, in Philippians. And let's look down about Philippians chapter 2. And I'd like to read verse 5 down to about verse 11. Now, this is about 5 years later in 64 A.D. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 59, about 59 on there A.D., here he said, but we have the mind of Christ, as he talked about this relationship in the family of God. Now, we see 5 years later about that, around 64 A.D., he is writing to the church at Philippi. And I want you to notice what he says in chapter 2, down in verse 5, first of all. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He said to the church of Philippi, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, it tells you that it's not, you have the potential there, but it's not there unless you do something about it. Let means we have to do something about it. What is that? We have to come God's way. We have to do what God says to do. We have to look into the Word of God. This is the only way, may I say again, you and I ever know the mind of God or the mind of Christ. This is God's absolute word that he gives. And then he goes on and said, who been in the form of God, talking about Jesus Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation and took upon him a servant and was made in the likeness of man and been found fashioned as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Notice, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, was found in fashion as a man. And then he said, because of this, wherefore God had exalted him, given him name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Now, I love those verses because it's telling me every person who laughs at you and I who are saved, who try to get someone to be saved, think they got it their own way, leave God out of it, leave Christ out of it. He said there's going to come a day they will still bow their knee to the one in glory. They will bow their knee to Jesus Christ, and they shall confess that he's Lord to the glory of God. You know why God's going to do that? Because he's going to show everybody at the end they had a chance. They blew it, wouldn't believe God, and the end results have they'd have to do it anyhow, but the time that they are forced to do it, it does no good for them. Any person who's brought to the point to be forced, and they will. Why? God's going to prove that they had a chance to do it but didn't, bow their knee to Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior, but they're going to have to, but then it won't be any good for them because they'll see then that they have lost everything because they didn't just believe God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simple, yet it's powerful to a world that we live in today. So I want to speak just a few minutes. How do we get our mind ready or prepare to serve God? It's a known fact. He said, let this mind be you. But we have the mind of Christ, Jesus Christ. And then he says to Philip, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, God gives us that mind for the purpose of service. Just like he gives us the plan of salvation for the purpose of salvation. The reason God gives us John 3:16 and Romans 10:9-10 and things to say how do we get saved is so we can be saved. And the reason he tells us how to prepare to serve him is the same thing. So how do we get our minds ready or prepare to serve the living God? In 1928, Al Smith ran for president. I never knew that. I was looking at some historic facts. I don't even know who Al Smith is. That is who ran for. I know some Al Smith, but not who ran for president. But it says while making a speech one day, a heckler yelled to him that was in the audience, and he said something like this, and he said something like this. Tell them what's on your mind, Al. It won't take very long. And Smith just grinned with a big grin, and he looked at that fellow and pointed his finger at him. He said, hey, sir, I tell you what you do. You stand up, and I'll tell them what we both is on our mind, and it won't take any longer. Well, one thing's for sure. Right now, something's on your mind. Anyone in here, something's on your mind. It may be a lot of things, but I want you to know this. God is omnipresent. He knows everything. And when I see this, it blesses me to understand. Psychologists say that the 10,000 thoughts go through the human mind in one day. If that be the case, there's 3,500,000 a year, and all those thoughts end up in words of some kind. God said that we will give an account in life for every idle word. Matthew 12:36-37. I want you to notice that. Look, turn over and read it. And Jesus said this. By the way, when I read verses like this, it's just as real to me as John 3:16. Just as real as when God talks about being saved. Look with me in chapter 12 and down verse 36 and 37. It's just as real. Thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said this, but I say unto you, verse 36, that every idle word that man will speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And verse 37 said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we can say words of encouragement to be justified or be condemned for those words. So I'm telling you, the mind is very important to control us in this life. Isn't it amazing that God, when he created man, he had some ideas about what he wanted to do and where he was leading man to be with him forever on the other side. So this alone, this verse, what Jesus said alone, Matthew 12:36-37, can condemn us very easy if we're not careful. So I want you to think a minute as I get into this message. Our soul is the life of this body. You remember when God created Adam from the dust of the ground, he blew him into the breath of life, and he became what? A living soul. So our soul is the life of this body. The soul consists of the mind or the intellect, the will, and also emotion. Since man comes into this world in a fallen condition, our soul is full of self and needs purifying for the master's use. And that's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. We're lost and we need purifying, and to be saved is to have the potential to purify our mind over a period of time, because God wants us to think godly things rather than those things of a fallen man. And so our fallen mind tells us what we think. We who come into this world unsaved in a physical body. It is the fallen mind that registers in the center of us mainly in thinking, tells us what we think, what we feel, what we want, not necessarily what God thinks, feels, or wants, because we don't know who the real God is until we meet him through Jesus Christ. Then our mouth begins to express these things as a physical body, what we think, what we feel, what we want. And then Christ gives us a new creation to have us ability to think what God feels, what God thinks, and what he wants. The mind of Jesus Christ helps us with those thoughts and feelings and wants with a purpose of the new heart. The new heart changes things to look at. And this book is the record that God has given us that will overflow anything in our heart that we learn from the physical life until the day we die. So I say to you, in life, our mouth gives expression either to the flesh or to the spirit, one or the other. And you can't give expression of the Spirit until you're born again. So this world knows nothing but the flesh, and that's the reason they don't understand when we talk about spiritual things. They think we're trying to cut out something they enjoy as far as the flesh is concerned. So as I think about how do we get our mind ready, prepared to serve God after we're saved, the question I'd like to ask, is your mind prepared to serve God? My mind was not prepared to even ask God to come in my heart to hear the gospel. And then there's something happened over a period of time that drew me to the Lamb of God. One day, thank God, I did bow my heart and say to the Lord, God, have mercy upon me and save my soul. But then after that, there's a preparation about serving God. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, when I got saved, I didn't have one idea what to do to serve God, did you? Oh, I had some ideas what I'd like to do to serve God. I mean, one thing, be good, be saved, and go to heaven and still live like I want to here, wouldn't it? That's what the flesh teaches me. That's the reason I have such a hard time with it. But God has showed me, no, that's not the way it goes. You're born physically, you leave the flesh alive. You get born spiritually, they that are born of the Spirit, that's of the flesh is flesh, and that of the Spirit is spirit. And so we began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And folks, this is the thing about this book is written more about. It gives an introduction how to get saved, but it tells a lot in history and identification of life what one needs to do to serve God. So if a person is not prepared to serve God, the question then is, how do I get there? Well, first of all, you have to be born again. Hey, I might as well stop. If a person thinks they can get this without being born again, we might as well close the door. If God won't honor what he says about being saved, we might as well close the door. You and I can't make nobody get saved. We can't make nobody listen. But I'll tell you this. If you quote the word of God, God will see someone get saved, and God will have some to listen. And if you quote the word of God, if they don't get saved, or if they don't listen, they're still going to stand before him one day, not us. You see how serious this is? And so I understand. If I go, how do I get there? I get there spiritually just like I do to serve self or someone else in this physical body. When I was born physically and began to learn, I was taught everything that man knows to know to get ahead in life. That's what we talked about. All through high school to get ahead in life. In college to get ahead in life. Make things better in life. Physical life, that's what it's about. You prepare for the physical life here once you're born physically. No one can do it for us. No one can prepare the physical life for me. Now some people are helping on the way if I'd listen to them. Some people could do, you know, give me advice and teach me and all things, but they couldn't make me do it. No one can make you do it. No one does it for us either. We have to apply ourselves with that. And so God gives us information based on how he made us that we could also respond to spiritual things. Our mind is an important subject in our everyday conversation. How many times have you heard such as this or used statements like this? You can have a narrow mind or you can have an open mind. You ever heard that before? Something can blow your mind or something can bore out you out of mind. We can be absent-minded or most things easily come up to our mind. We can bear in mind or we can get a load off our mind. We can be out of our mind or we can be in our right mind. These phrases we use, maybe use it loosely. Our mind then is the center. It's our will. It's our inner man. It's our capacity of reason. The mind in normal situations controls the center for all we do or say. Because if your mind's not working, you don't have control of what you do and say. But if your mind is working, which has rest us in the brain center, we have exactly control of that. And we who are saved, God gives us that ability to do that in this life. And this is amazing when you look back and try to peel away what God has said on the surface to see what's behind it. That we're capable of doing as being in the image of God. Animals cannot do this. Only God can do it through us and our mind. So he tells us that this mind is normal, so let this mind be in you. Why? He says, so what we do with our mind is truly important to our spiritual success in this life. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So our mind is the direction center for our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit. So while we search out God's advice for our mind from his inspired word, we must not allow our mind to be corrupted or become debased, knowing that such would not please God. God has given us everything in this book so that we don't have a debased mind that we're born with physically. We can override that with the Spirit of God. That's the reason why he didn't just give us a book and say, study it. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us. He knows we couldn't do it by ourselves. There's not a one in here could do it by themselves. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only gave us the instruction and restored it in an inspired way that we could have it, but He also is here to help us understand those things. So the Scriptures are important for us to consider these points about our direction of our mind. This helps us make proper decisions and discovers with our mind that we may learn what God's will is and also be able to perform that. And I have 3 points quickly to give you of this. How do we get our mind ready or prepared to serve God? Number one is this. We need to prepare our minds with the right attitude. And that's what this book does. We came into this world and prepared our mind about a lot of things in the physical flesh. But did you find out later when you got saved, it wasn't right attitude with God? Only God can tell us what is right attitude towards Him. And God does that for us in this life. But it's up to us whether we listen or not. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You see that, you know, present your body, living sacrifice, reasonable service. We quote it many times. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed, renew your mind, you might prove what's that good and accept the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope through the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, once he said, gird up your loins of your mind, he says, as obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your own ignorance. He said if you're traveling the same way after you're saved and you're in your former lust, you're in ignorance that God doesn't want us to be in. And that ignorance simply means that God can dispel that with His Word if we will listen to what He has to say in this life. So there's always a beginning point for us to prepare our mind and to receive the direction of God and then obey His will. It's one thing to receive direction of God. It's another thing whether we obey His will or not. And we find that's not as easy done sometimes as it may seem. In Acts 17, verse 11, you remember when Paul went to the church there in Berea? The brethren in Berea were more noble men than those in the other places. Why? Because they received the word of God with readiness of mind, and they checked out those things that were said, and when they were true, they followed it. And when they thought something was out of bounds, then they had questions about it at the time. The decision to follow the direction of God through Jesus Christ requires preparing. Just like making decisions correctly in a body of flesh, it declares us to have some preparing. It causes us to prepare. And when we get saved, we have to do the same thing. So we must determine to repent for sin. In Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The direction of self-will must be yielded to God. Matthew 16, 24. The whims of our flesh must be abandoned. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. And the reality of needing help must be understood, as we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. And of course, when you, these verses, I don't have time to read all of these, but you can go home and read them and do so. It'd be a help to you. If you look in chapter, Romans chapter 5, we'll read that in 6 through 10. He says this. He said, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely the righteous man would die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even die. But God committed His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he talked about, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more been reconciled, we shall live by His life. His life is the new thinking. It's the new mind. It's the life of Christ. He said we should live by His life. Let me ask you, folks, where are you going to find out how to live by His life? You're not going to know. I'm not going to know. And I found this many years ago, and that's why this book is so precious as we try our best to study it. We must be willing to submit to God's will through His Word. It's like, you remember Eunuch in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, that God sent down to Philippi as he had been to Jerusalem and headed back to home. And he had a part of the book of Isaiah reading, and God told him to run, go to its chariot, and he went, and he asked what he was reading. He told him, and he asked a question about it. Who is this man? And he preached Jesus Christ from that. He said, what? He'll be baptized. And he said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can. And he took him down the water and baptized. And you see, he listened, and he obeyed what God said. Not necessarily what Philip said, because Philip was just saying what God said. And it's not somebody say, well, if I preach this book, you're banning me. No, it's banning what God said. I never looked at banning something banned because someone else said do it. I did it because if I looked at the Scripture and found it was truth, it was God that said it. And so I have realized that in my life. And so we need to prepare our minds with the right attitude. Now, some people say this for once in a while. I hear this soul winning places, they get upset with church or something, and they say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. There's hypocrites in the church. Well, there's hypocrites everywhere you go. But I want to tell you this, folks. How can you love the head if you don't love the body? See, Jesus is both. He's the head and the body. And we make up the body, and therefore, if you have fellowship with the head, you got to have fellowship in the body. And God deals with that in His own way. Second thing, we need to set our minds on those right attitudes. Once we set our minds with them, we need to set on there. We must be determined to do God's will by being motivated in the Scriptures. How? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the only one who can motivate us in this book. Our everlasting dwelling place in the presence of God is in heaven. But we've not got there yet. When we get there, we have a glorified body. And whatever we have there will be programmed by that glorified body. I don't know. We hear the Lord teach and what things will be said, but everything will be programmed by the glorified body. We won't necessarily have to have a book like this there, though it will be there to show us God's Word is still complete. It's the Scripture that directs us in our way to get there. God has revealed His pathway. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, first of all, He's the door. He's the way. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then when you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, and you begin to see what he has said later as a born-again child of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look down about verse 21-23. He tells it about Christ. He said, for even hereto we were called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that you should suffer His step, follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, nor but committed himself to him that judges righteousness. Isn't it amazing how he controlled himself? When, hey, ladies and gentlemen, hanging on that cross, you hear me. He could have sent every one of those people to hell just like that if he wanted to. You know that? Every Roman soldier had no power over him unless he allowed that. Why did he do it? He submitted himself because it was needed so you and I could be saved. He committed himself in heaven before he ever came through the door of a dressing room of Mary in a physical body. And so God has revealed his pathway. Endurance on the way is necessary to achieve success by being determined and unmovable in our biblical faith. Just like endurance in the flesh is necessary if you're going to accomplish things. I guarantee you, wherever you're at, you didn't get there by just sitting around and not trying to do anything. It doesn't work that way. Most everywhere you're at now, there's been a trail where you endured things and did things and used things to try to advance to get where you're at and hope one day that you could retire and enjoy a little bit of life there. So we must not allow this world distraction to turn our eyes away from the Lord. There is a tremendous difference between starting and finishing. That's what I pray, Lord. I know right now, God, it bothers me. I spent a lot of time early this morning in my study at 2 o'clock. It just bothers me to see how Barbara and I now health is losing it. And we can't do what we used to do. We've been so active for 50 years. But then again, God just keeps southering my mind, son. I understand where you're at. Do what you can do. That's all I ask. Amen. Wherever you're at, that's God. All God's asking you. He's not saying compare yourself with someone else. He's not saying judge yourself by someone else. He said you judge yourself by what you can do based on what you're willing to know to do. I'll use you anywhere. There's been times that people, men and women, have died for the cause of Christ, and they've used more in their death than when they were alive. God is so wonderful. Endurance is the way. It may be necessary at times. And so, therefore, it's one thing to obey God, but we must be determined to stay on the course. This is where we set our minds on doing God's will. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. I've got time to turn there. But here, read this later. Here's what it sets forth. If you look in verse 1, he tells us we are to seek those things which are above. That's what he tells the child of God to do, not the world. They have to come through Christ. He says, seek, verse 1, read it. We are to seek those things which are above. The word seek means to prepare or look for. It means to search for, locate, and discover those things. when you are searching, seeking, looking for, locating, discovering those things, God is preparing us to do what He said do. And it starts inside and comes out. Then notice He says to set our minds above on things above. When we are to seek, search for, locate, discover, then we're to place in our specific position by setting them. Lord, what is this that my talents can do? What is this that my growth can do? I've sought, I've searched, I have located, I've discovered. Now help me set them in a position that where I can be used for your glory. I look at word study to come with great truths. Then to set our mind on things above, not on things the earth, He said. That is, you place in specific position things in heaven, not on this earth. And then I will bless you with things on this earth, but they won't get in the way. Then He says, God gives instructions in what to do and what to avoid. He says, focus. First seek, then He said, set your mind on those things, and then focus. Focus means to see with clarity. And then God doesn't use words like we do to fill a page. They're specific words. Seek, search for, locate, discover. Now prepare you to do what I asked you to do. Then set your mind on things above. Place your mind in a specific position about things that God is doing, not just say on the earth. That goes to tell you, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. And then He says, focus, to see with clarity. If our heart is set on the world, our plans will come to destruction. And we see that in the Scriptures. When we set our mind towards heaven, we will resist worldliness and determine to some degree that we'll help us serve God. And then I like what Peter said. He said in 1 Peter 1:13, we are to gird up the loins of our mind. Amazing thing. I know what the gird up clothes means. But what it means to gird up the loins of our mind? The word girt means to gather together tightly. And it works better that way loosely. You can't break it loose as much as it is loosely. In this case, we are to gather and tighten our thoughts in a way that we present them in words. And as we do this, here as obedient children, we listen, we learn, we live for Jesus Christ our Savior. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We need to prepare and set our minds in Christ. So number one, we need to prepare our minds with the right attitude. Then number two, we need to set our minds with that right attitude on those things that God says in heaven. And then the third one, we must need to focus our mind on those right things. These three elements will give us a ladder to climb towards those things that God wants us to see. So help me, folks. If you don't believe this, I challenge you to try it. I beg you to try it and see if God won't keep His word just as much so as He would when He talked about trusting Christ as Savior. We must maintain and renew what we have in order to keep its value intact. Romans 12:2 teaches that we're to renew our mind. I must keep. And that's, I know sometimes people say go back. You have to go back and keep reminding yourself so you don't ever forget your base, where you started. Because if you do, then you're not building right. You may build on something other than Jesus Christ. And so we need to prepare our minds to receive God's will, then set our minds to do God's will, then focus on serving God with our talents in His will. The opportunity is ours right now. Every day I have opportunity to serve Him. Every day of my life, and so do we all in this life. The opportunity is ours right now. We must take advantage of these opportunities because God will give them to us but not make us take advantage of them. And I can get upset with someone who reminds me of it. Don't make no difference. Don't change a thing with God, what He's going to do. And it don't hurt the person who's telling us, because the person who's telling us is only telling us what God said. And if God said it, that's all that matters anyhow. And, of course, you'll see things as you study more and more. When we prepare our minds with the right attitude and we set our minds with that right attitude, and we focus our mind on that right attitude, then we are preparing ourselves biblically to serve God. Because His right attitude is coming through Him through His precious word. The church is not a place to go just to sit to seem religious. The church is a place to worship God and be useful and refuel spiritually for service when we go back into the world. And God promised us His presence, His peace, His power when we obey Him. And all of this is through the Bible-believing New Testament church, which is Christ's body as He works through us in the age of grace. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. We must retain our renew what we have in order to keep value tracking as far as this life. We need to maintain relationships. We need to ask God to help us with our marriages, our families, even our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus and His righteousness. And listen to me as I close, by preparing and setting and focusing like Jesus, like God said in Colossians, by doing that, our minds are being developed in a way that God can say, I can use you if you yield me. Preparing and setting, focusing our minds with the right biblical attitudes. And when we do, we are preparing ourselves to receive God's will, setting our minds to do God's will, and focusing our minds to serve God with our talents in His will. The question would be for anyone here to start with, and listen to my radio or your upstream, do you know God? Because it's God's will that any should perish. And the first thing in anybody's life is that they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, then what we're saying here today about how do we get our minds prepared to serve God. God has not left us ignorant. Would you stand to your feet? My Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this book. There's so much. We'll never get it all in this body. But Lord, the little bits we get brings us closer to you. These people come here today. May it not be wasted of time. What a sad thing to come. And then look, everything I've read, every verse I've given this morning, Lord, come from the Scriptures. Everybody here has a mentality to go and read those Scriptures. Everybody who don't know Christ as Savior, the door's open. To whosoever will, is still the open door. As they walk by that, may they see the need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. On the other hand, once we come to know Christ as Savior, may not Satan, if Satan tries to trick us from getting saved, and then once we get saved, he tries to trick us that it really don't matter what he would do. Lord, you tell us precisely what we need to do to get saved. You tell us precisely what we need to do to prepare to serve you. You're not going to leave us in a body of flesh to make determined things ourselves. If we do, we just come up short. We must allow the Spirit of God to help us spiritually. God, please do that. So this church body will be tuned to the head, which is Jesus Christ, all the time. There's a multi-different people here in talents, and works, and jobs, and positions in this life. And yet when we walk in through these doors, Lord, we're on common ground with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family making up the body of Jesus Christ. If one's in here today or listening by one means of our output and don't know Christ, please help them see. God so loved them that Jesus came for them to die. And then look at His death and His burial and His resurrection and what the Scriptures has to say about Him. And the Holy Spirit will convince them that they need Him as Savior. Now we are saved, Lord. Help us understand that same Holy Spirit come to abide in us. And He lives in us. He inspired this precious book, the Word of God. It has a lot of instruction, not only in the Old Testament for Israel and the world, but in the New Testament for the church. And God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us to reveal what He has inspired to write when we desire to want it more than food itself. For it is food for the new creation. Please help us, Lord, to have our eyes on You. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.